This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life these days. Before I introduce my guest, long-time listeners to the program will know I make a huge emphasis on prayer. We have around 8 support and prayer groups going on every week by Zoom and by conference call. And for men, for wives, for everyone. And I'm a huge believer that our prayer is the power of, or the barometer of the power of our Christian life. And churches are supposed to be houses of prayer. And so a couple of months ago, we began doing what I call a night of prayer, where from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Central Time, which is 8 p.m. to noon for those of you here locally, we go for 4 hours straight of prayer in an evening on a Friday night, and we had our last night of prayer 2 weeks ago, and it was wonderful. We had people from Asia, Europe, and the U.S., and by the time I was done soaking with 4 hours of prayer with a group of other believers, it was, when I walked out of there, it was like I had been soaking in the presence of God for 4 hours, and we were sharing our weaknesses, our struggles, sins were confessed. And just so you know, on a prayer meeting, when people start confessing their sins, that's when it can light it on fire. So it was a wonderful time, and we're going to have our next night of prayer June 14th, and that's a Friday, too. And that'll go from, again, 8 p.m. to midnight here, local Phoenix time. So join us if you want, if you got a heart for prayer. And today I have with me, and next week, Dave Drum. He is a former senior pastor and now the director of J17 Ministries in Tucson, Arizona. He's married and with 4 kids. And Dave, thank you for joining us.
Happy to join you. I'm excited to be here and love what you're doing on the prayer front. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm back at you. I love your emphasis on prayer, too. So let's get going.
Thanks.
And I have you begin by sharing your story.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. So thanks, Mike. So I have battled depression most of my adult life. That's past tense, because God has healed me from that depression in the last year, and I'll explain a little bit more what I mean by that. But I believe depression is always got 3 components to it. One of them is biochemical. Oftentimes there's a genetic component to it. I believe there's always a spiritual component to it. And I believe there's always a volitional component to it, meaning choices that we make, either things that we ought to do and aren't, or things that we ought not to do but are. And I think all 3 of those things contribute to probably everybody's journey with depression, but for sure they do for mine. So the biochemical and genetic component, both my mom and my grandmother, I believe, died from undiagnosed depression. It wasn't suicide, but both of them just kind of shriveled up emotionally and spiritually in the last year or two of their lives, and just drew into a shell. All four of our kids have been on antidepressants, and I was first diagnosed officially with depression in 1998, and have been on a whole variety of different meds ever since then, since 1998. My depression was not as severe as some. I never seriously battled with suicidal temptations. Certainly the thought crossed my mind, but I never got to a point of having a plan or anything that was very serious on the suicidal front. I was functional. I was a pastor that whole time, and many people didn't know that I was struggling with depression, but my family certainly did, because I gave my best energy to ministry, several theological problems with that, but I did, and so my wife and kids got scraps. By the time the work day was done, I was often shot and not good for much of anything. So that was a volitional choice that I made. And then the spiritual tie-in to that is that, of course, I knew that I was supposed to be investing more in my wife and kids in terms of spiritual leadership at home and just emotional availability and presence, and I wasn't. And so then there's legitimate guilt, and then there's the enemy's shame, and nobody in the history of the world has ever climbed out of a pit of depression from guilt and shame. So that just digs the pit deeper. Then there were other, because I was so low on energy and struggled, that just opened up the temptation floodgates for fixes for that, that would not be God's plan. But whether it's a dopamine hit from a video game or escaping or numbing through sports or things that are primarily morally neutral, or the worst is sin issues that can become addictions that help either escape or provide a dopamine hit. And so I'm guilty on all fronts. And so the depression just kept getting worse. I got my workaholism under control, but that didn't solve the depression. Switched a variety of meds. That helped a little bit, but didn't solve it. I'm an extrovert, so the pandemic was difficult. And I had some other health issues that required me to isolate even further during the pandemic. And so that just made it all the more challenging. I was working through some family of origin trauma more intentionally during that time. That was really hard work and just probably contributed to the depression. And then a lot of unanswered prayers, not only about depression, which certainly had been one of them, but things going on with our kids that my wife and I had prayed about for years and just saw no traction. And so my prayer life suffered through both depression and what I would have described as unanswered prayers. And so you put all that together, and a year and a half ago, I was pretty much a hot mess. My wife encouraged me to try again, although I had been to countless doctors and countless meds. And I remember very well saying to her about a year and a half ago, why? If God wants to heal me, he certainly could have plenty of opportunities. And apparently this is my lot in life. And so I was ready to give up in terms of ever experiencing freedom from depression. She convinced me to keep going. That was probably our low point in the whole journey. Again, I was functional in ministry, but just barely. And I gave it my best shot, but when I was done working, the mealtime and the evening were quiet, empty nesters. My wife thought she had probably lost me and the rest of her life was going to look like me just sitting, escaping in my phone. And so it was a very sad season. So the journey out also needs to involve all three: biochemical, volitional, and spiritual. And that's my story. All three were involved in the healing. So through a variety of different connections in the body of Christ, and that's my whole ministry. It's based on John 17, uniting the body of Christ. So there's a direct correlation between a variety of different people that I was connected to, leading me to a PhD psychologist, which meant that he actually gave me an hour of time instead of the 5 or 10 minutes that you get with a psychiatrist. And he was also a nurse practitioner, so he was able to prescribe meds. And so we tried him about a year and a half ago, and he immediately gave us some possibilities that nobody else had mentioned. One of them actually is a stimulant that I qualified for because I had had medication-resistant depression, and I don't have ADHD. So he said there's been some evidence that when you meet those two criteria, then their stimulants can actually help. And so that was the first step. While depression snowballs into the pit, healing also snowballs in a positive direction. So the meds immediately provided some relief. And so that started to get me courage to address some of the other much harder issues to address. So that had been going on for a couple of months. One of the things our ministry does is lead prayer summits with other pastors. And so we had a pastor prayer summit April of 2023. And I decided to be more courageous with a small group of pastors and share the fact that I had become cynical when it came to prayer. That's hard for a pastor to admit. It's doubly hard when you lead a ministry based on a prayer. So I just shared my story, some of what I just shared with the audience here now, and just shared that there are things that are safe to pray about, but I had gotten to a point where really personal things, where there had been no movement, I would pray out of obedience. It was a dry spiritual discipline, but I had no expectation that God was going to do anything with that. And so it was just an empty rote exercise. And the whole time that I'm sharing that story, a pastor friend of mine sitting next to me begins to weep. And the more that I shared, the more he wept. And at the end of my sharing my sad story, he just looked at me with tears streaming down his face and said, "I am so sorry." And that moment began the thawing of the ice cap that had formed over my soul. So that was April. That was a spiritual component. The volitional component was being transparent about the depression and about the effect on my spiritual life. A month later, my wife confronted me on an ongoing systemic sin issue that I had made attempts at recovering from in the past, But she confronted me again, and because there had been some more healing on the depression front by this point, I was able to acknowledge to the Lord and to her, I will do whatever it takes to get this resolved. And so I got involved in a 12-step program, and that was enormously helpful. That started giving me hope on that sin issue, which gave my wife hope, which helped to restore some marital brokenness. It eliminated a prime tool of the enemy on guilt and shame over that sin issue. And so all those things started to snowball, and there was healing there. My wife and I worked through a book about a month later called Living Fearless by Jamie Winship, and it addresses false identities that we tend to accumulate over life. And I worked through that process that he outlines in the book religiously, and I mean that in a good way. If he said, write this down, I wrote it down. If he said, say this prayer, I said that prayer. And there were some lies that I had believed from the enemy that fell off immediately. It was supernatural. The next morning I woke up and I no longer believed some of those lies. Some of them took longer, but that was huge. And so because my wife and I did that together, that again snowballed some of the marital healing. Depression was seeing remarkable improvement. I read another book called A Praying Life by Paul Miller during this whole season. And the very fact that I was reading these books was evidence of healing, because I had no energy to read unless I absolutely had to. If it was a work requirement, I read, but otherwise not so much. So that book deals with some misunderstandings about prayer, and I had read it before about 4 years ago, but I read it again devotionally. This whole time, my prayer life is stronger. My journaling spiritual discipline for 10 or 15 years became life-giving and not just ritual. My time in the Word was becoming more and more alive. Music, just all the different spiritual disciplines that God had used and had been helpful, but now they were just so vibrant. And so ministry became more alive. And I shared with my board the ways that I was coming alive and healing from depression. And all of that just continued to snowball. And so, again, there's some more steps along the way, but I became more and more transparent in sharing with others the journey that I was on and experiencing the healing that I had experienced with all of that. And so to wrap my story up for right now, I'll just say, here's how it is that I tell people that I have been healed from depression. Over the last year, and I can prove it from my journal, because I journal about this very carefully every day, without exception, except for once, every single day, I certainly still experience some depressive symptoms, still walking through some hard stuff, and I'm happy to share some of that too. But without exception, when I meet with the Lord, which I do in an extended period of time every morning, which is richer than it's ever been, every single time God pulls me out of the pit. And I'm still on some medications, although we've lowered the dosages of them, both the stimulant and the base antidepressant. We'll see. I may come off of it altogether if I don't need it, but if I need it, I'll continue to take them. I think God heals through both medicine and miracles. It's not an either or. And the one exception was one day where I knew it wouldn't last, but and it didn't. By the next day, I was out of the pit. And so that's how I explain that I believe I've been healed from depression. It doesn't last. God gets me out of the pit of depression every single day, if I experience it at all. And so on any number of different measurements that my wife has noticed, that my kids have all noticed, that people in ministry, friends around the city are noticing, on every possible level, there has been transformation as a result of the healing from depression. And I have never had more energy and never felt better, despite the challenges, at any point in my adult life. So that's my roughly 15-minute version of the story of the last year, year and a half.
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. And so did your depression begin in youth, or when did it start coming on?
I noticed it in ministry. So I've got a degree in mechanical engineering. I went straight from that degree into seminary, and then I became a pastor, which I had always wanted to do. Ironically, and I worked very hard. In fact, workaholism was a mask for depression, and I don't think either my wife or I noticed that initially. But part of how I know there's a genetic component is that the first time I was diagnosed with depression was after my first sabbatical from ministry. So I had 3 months off, 8 years into pastoring, and that time off did not help the low-level depression. It wasn't stress, because I had dealt with that. I had a wonderful sabbatical, and it was, and family time was good. All of that was good, but depression wasn't. So that's when I first went to a doctor and started taking antidepressants, was the fall of 1998. I think I had it before that, but neither my wife or I noticed it.
And as I know from ministry, there's a lot of emotional output.
Yep.
And especially when you're giving everything, you know, on a Sunday morning or leading a conference or an all-day thing or whatever, that can be very draining, right?
Absolutely.
And then I also know that for many, ministry can become a drug. And did you struggle with any of that?
100%. Yeah, I have a whole long list of addictions. And ministry was the first one that we noticed, where workaholism, and there's some theological problems with that. I believed that I was called to give my best energy to ministry and build the church and pray for and trust God to build and take care of my family. That's exactly wrong on both counts. It's God's job to build the church. It's my job to build up and take care of and care for my family. And I had it exactly wrong. I also thought that the local congregation was the body of Christ. So any need that came through the doors was my responsibility to address as the shepherd of that body. That also is wrong. Every congregation is a part of a citywide body. That's the whole ministry that I'm involved with now. And so I misunderstood that too. If I had partnered with other ministries instead of trying to recreate the wheel, I wouldn't have struggled so much with burnout, which just contributes to the depression. And so I had some theological errors that contributed as well. But yes, that was an addiction. And then to numb that pain, sports is an easy addiction, phone is an easy addiction, emails, as well as then things that are even more damaging than any of those.
Mm. Well, Dave, we got 45 seconds. Anything you want to say?
There is hope. If you are struggling with depression, or somebody in your family is struggling with depression, do not give up. There is hope. And I suspect we will talk more about that next week.
Yep. Well, thank you for joining us, my friends. And as Dave mentioned, we will be continuing this conversation with him next week. So we'll see you then. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.